So the Jewish calendar is a quirky thing. Often it works really well, but sometimes has a little odd curveball in it for us. And in particular, the assignment of Torah portions one after another sometimes play into these quirks. It always seems to work out that the Torah portion we are reading this particular Shabbat, Toldot, manages to come right around the weeks of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not a Jewish holiday, per se. Although it's got food and Thanksgiving, I don't know, could be. But it's not in our regular cycle of Torah readings. Nevertheless, as our bar mitzvah boy will teach us tomorrow morning, in our portion, Jacob is at home making a stew. His brother Esau comes in from the field famished. Esau wants food. Jacob offers to sell Esau a bowl full of stew for the birthright. Esau could care less. He's starving. He agrees. He sells. He eats. He leaves. So right around Thanksgiving, we seem to have a story about food and dysfunctional family relationships. Couldn't have planned it better if we tried. In truth, we know that the relationship between Esau and Jacob is complicated even from the start. They're going to be at each other's throats for most of their lives. They are different people. Esau is hairy and big and red outdoors and loved by his dad. Jacob is smooth, indoor, quieter, loved by his mom. It starts even before they were born. Rebecca, their mother, is pregnant, but it's not an easy pregnancy. The text tells us, Vayit rotzitzu habanim bekirba. The boys crushed up against one another. Even that word, yit rotzitzu, rotzit, like as if they're struggling against each other, crashing into each other. There's an internal conflict in Rebecca's womb. Rebecca goes to inquire about this with God. And God tells her, you have two peoples in your belly, and they are not going to get along, and the older will end up serving the younger. So Rebecca is told in advance by God what's going to come to be. Jacob and Esau are not going to get along. Jacob, though younger, is going to be the bloodline, the through line for the future. Esau will serve him, right? God tells her that Jacob is the one. So later in the portion, when we know that she helps Jacob secure the blessing from Isaac, Rebecca knows that this is the right thing to do in the context of Torah because God has told her. She has the certainty of what will happen, of what is supposed to happen, right? Because God has told her that. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I don't have that certainty. There's no direct line to God about will or won't happen for me. And I will say quite plainly that I do not imagine for a minute that I can comprehend what it is like to be pregnant, let alone if you have two babies in you crushing one another. Some of you might be able to imagine or remember that better than I ever could. But I will tell you that that sense of inner struggle, of inner discomfort, of things inside me crushing against each other, that has become to feel very familiar to me in these recent weeks as I watch and react and try and keep up with and understand everything going on in the war with Hamas and the fighting with Gaza. I've been experiencing a range of reactions and emotions. They're not necessarily in conflict with each other, but they certainly are making for some discomfort. And I know that some of you are experiencing this too because you've talked with me about it. Now, I can't get an answer about it from God like Rebecca did, but I can share my thoughts with you. So, first, let me say loudly and clearly, I am a Zionist and an Ohev Yisrael, a lover of Israel. I believe strongly and fiercely in the land of Israel as our ancestral homeland and in the modern state of Israel as a modern geopolitical manifestation of it. Jews have been part of the land of Israel for 3,000 years since the time of Abraham. Our history and heritage and our stories are based there. We are an indigenous people to that land. We have every right to a Jewish state as surely as there are Muslim states or Christian states, sovereignty and governance of the land. And my Israel is dedicated to the ideals of the Jewish prophets and the values of Torah. And it strives always to fulfill the vision of its declaration of independence, of acceptance and tolerance, freedom of religion and equality for all. Israel doesn't always live up to that fully, any more than America always lives up to its highest values. But my Israel is always moving, hopefully, towards that. I also will say loudly and clearly that Hamas is an organization that is not interested in those ideals and is not interested in peace. Hamas was founded as a right-wing Islamicist fundamentalist authoritarian movement. They are to normative Islam what the KKK is to Christianity. They are a distortion of the worst kind. It is not a perfect analogy, but I hope you understand the distinction. They are, to many modern thinking Muslims, a far extreme. They are dedicated to creating a fundamentalist theocracy in Palestinian society, which includes the absence of all Jews from any of their territory. And they view their territory as all of the area from the river to the sea, meaning there should be no state of Israel and, frankly, no Jews anywhere in that land. They do not believe in compromise or are living alongside Jews in peace. And the brutal terrorist attacks of October 7th demonstrated this. They have said, we will do this again and again and again. And they are willing to massacre and defile and rape and torture and kidnap if it brings them closer to this goal. They see their dead as martyrs towards this higher religious ideal. And so they embed themselves in the civilian population that they control. They hide rockets under children's beds and tunnels under hospitals. They prevent people from fleeing a war zone so that they can hide between them and among them. Frankly, they terrorize Palestinians too. My discomfort is not about Israel fighting to drive Hamas out of Gaza. No nation should live with terrorists who vow to destroy it living right next to them. No country can tolerate attacks on its citizens like Hamas has done. Israel has the right, even the obligation, to remove the threat that Hamas poses. It's not even about retaliation for October 7th. I don't think that is a justifiable motive, but it is about safeguarding the future. Israel thought it knew how to handle Hamas, and they were wrong. They now need to do what they need to do in order to keep Israel safe. My discomfort is also not about Israel's mission to rescue the hostages. At the March for Israel this week, some of the most salient moments for me were hearing family members speak about their loved ones who have now been in captivity for 42 days. We chanted with the crowd of 290,000 strong, "Bring them home." Cannot fathom the uncertainty and the pain that those families are feeling. I cannot understand the lack of international outcry. Where is the International Red Cross? Are they trying to meet with the hostages? Who's checking on the well-being of the toddlers and the children and the teens and the elderly? Why is there not a larger demand from the world to release them? How is it possible that they are not the focus of attention, but only a footnote? My internal discomfort is also not about the rise in anti-Semitism that we are feeling and seeing here in the United States and around the world. Don't get me wrong, I am discomforted by that, but externally upset, not inner turmoil and conflict. Again, at the rally that about 30 of us from our congregation attended, there were very powerful messages. Ambassador Deborah Lipstadt, who's the US envoy to combat anti-Semitism, reminded people, when Holocaust memorials are vandalized in Canada, France, Greece, Denmark, or the United States, when Molotov cocktails are thrown at synagogues at Berlin and Montreal, when Jews peacefully protesting are physically or verbally intimidated, when Jewish children are harassed, when protesters chant, "Gas the Jews," that is not expressing support for Palestinian rights. That is Jew hatred, pure and simple. There were a couple of Jewish college students who spoke about their recent experiences and vowed not to cower in the face of hatred, no matter how scared they might be. And politicians across the spectrum at the rally decried anti-Semitism and vowed to be allies in the fight. I am concerned by what I see in our society, and I know that for some, anything about Israel is just an excuse to be anti-Semitic. I don't think that everything anti-Israel is anti-Semitism, but I do think that there are those who are using it as an opportunity to let their anti-Semitism out. We face baseless hatred today at a greater level than in the recent past, but I am heartened by the fact that our government is working with us to stop it, not actively promoting it as has happened to our people in places in the past. And I am heartened by the fact that we have allies and partners who will stand with us against anti-Semitism. All of these things felt fine to me as I stood at the march this week. Good to be surrounded by others who love and support Israel. Felt right to call for the release of the captives, standing with them, 290,000 others, even if it seems that the world doesn't care. I was proud to hold my head up as a Jew in America on the National Mall, surrounded by the symbols of American democracy, denouncing those who hate us while refusing to hide or be ashamed of being Jewish. And even at the same time, at the rally itself, I felt some of this internal discomfort, the other emotions and feelings alongside. How can I not feel compassion for the children of Gaza caught in a war they did not cause? How can I not feel saddened by the loss of life of Palestinians used as shields by Hamas or accepted as unfortunate casualties by the Israelis? I want Israel and Israelis to live in peace, and I want Palestinians and a state of Palestine to live in peace too. I support Israel. But my support of Israel isn't necessarily the same as every one of those 290,000 others who were on the mall. I am not an Israel is always right kind of rabbi. I have spoken from this bima and from many others when Israel's policies have been wrong. And I've criticized Israel when I feel she wasn't living up to her values, to my understanding of Torah values. I want to believe that Israel is truly doing all that it can to safeguard civilian Palestinians, that it is not indiscriminately bombing and attacking, but it is going after defined targets that bring the war closer to ending. I believe this is true. I hope this is true. But I don't have Rebecca's assurances from God that this is what it has to be. I don't think it is the time for a complete ceasefire. I think that would only leave Hamas in place waiting to strike again. I cannot imagine a ceasefire without the hostages coming home. But I know that that means more fighting and more bloodshed and more death for Israelis and Palestinians alike. I think that that's right, that the war must continue until Hamas is defeated. But I don't know that how it is happening couldn't happen in some other way, that there couldn't be other ways to achieve those same goals. I don't know with Rebecca's certainty that that is what has to be. So I wrestle internally between my Jewish values that love and support Israel, and my Jewish values that love and support all of humankind, between my loyalties and identity as a Jew and a Zionist, and my compassion and care that are part of that Jewish identity. They struggle within me. V'yitrotzitzu. A member of the congregation came to me this past week reflecting on their inner conflict and just so uncertain of what to do or feel or believe, and I pointed out to them, those are our Jewish values at work. Ultimately, friends, this is not a zero-sum game. There is not a hard and fast dichotomy. In the struggle, you do not have to pick a side as if it was some sporting match. You can believe that Israelis have the right to live in dignity and freedom and security, and you can believe that Palestinians have the right to live in dignity and freedom and security. You can do that at the same time. See, I just did it. You can love and support Israel and be concerned about the devastation that this war is causing. You can be outraged by the brutality and inhumanity of Hamas and the violent, depraved attacks that they committed and have compassion for Palestinian civilians. It can cause some internal discomfort, but you do not have to choose. There was a moment at the march that helped me address and fully feel this discomfort and try and find a way beyond it. And paradoxically, it was a very pro-Israel moment, but I think it actually holds the promise of a way forward as a whole. Partway through the rally, an Israeli pop star led the crowd in singing Israel's national anthem, Hatikva. Right? It was incredibly powerful. to sing in Hebrew this anthem with the unity of voices all around me, surrounded by 290,000 other people on the middle of the mall in Washington, D.C. Now, the words of HaTikvah are clearly Zionist. L'hiyot am chofshi be'artzenu, to be a free people in our land. But more than that, even as I was singing that, I was struck by the meaning of the name of the anthem. HaTikvah means the hope. And so, I have hope. I have hope that the conflicting emotions that I feel can be resolved, that the conflicting parties to the struggle can be reconciled, that enough people will say enough to the extremists on all sides, that enough people will want dignity and freedom and peace to make it real. I don't have a direct hotline like Rebecca did. I have no way of knowing that for sure, but I feel pretty certain that that is what God wants. We hope and pray, that that someday may come to be. King Yehi Ratzon, may this be God's will. And together we say, Amen. You didn't really think I was going to get all the way through that, did you? You know me too well. One of the things that also gives me hope is the continued vibrancy of Jewish living and learning and our community. If you had seen the 60 folks here for Tat Shabbat running around, or you're here on a Sunday morning and seeing our religious school or our adult ed classes, these are moments of Jewish vibrancy that are part of who we are in our country today. And so we celebrate even in difficult times.